Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, and the son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Purport. Vyasadeva was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naradaji, and therefore he wanted to know about him more and more. In this chapter, Naradaji will describe how he was able to have a brief audience with the Lord while he was absorbed in transcendental thought of separation from the Lord, and when it was very painful for him. Om Agyanatamiranasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Miltanjena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Putale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svapdantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Naam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I start, I'd like to get the blessings of all the devotees present here, all the stalwarts. Govinda knows it's a walking Bhagavatam encyclopedia of Krishna consciousness. Jayadev and all the others that are here to give their blessings so I can say something, you know, tangible. So anyway, I just want to confess that this morning I still have like a hollow in my stomach. I've never ever done Prabhupada's aarti before, and I was put on the spot. Even though I said no, the person that asked me didn't hear it. And I continued standing looking at the deities, and there was no aarti going on for Prabhupada. So I was implored to do it. Anyway, I had Govinda in the background to help me through it. I did aarti on the altar, but just a bit nervous. And, please forgive me if there was any discrepancies there. So, coming back to this verse, beautiful verse. I was talking to Dayabaladev yesterday, and I said there's only about six lines in this purport. I don't know what I'm going to say. He said, Mataji, you can speak 2.5 hours on this verse. So I thought, what are you talking about? Anyway, yeah, this Bhagavatam is so amazing. Even with one word, you can make a story. It's so unbelievable. Like Chintamani Dam, she, you know, encourages devotees to read Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes they go through one verse for about like over a month, you know, one word sometime. They go on for a few days. They look at it so in-depth. So anyway, I tried studying a little bit. And most of my material came from the questions by the sages in the first chapter, if you want to look it up. And then other things that I looked was in the same chapter, because it's talking about the transcendental activities of Narada Muni. This is what Vyasadeva wanted to know. So we just talk a little bit about Sutta Goswami, because Sutta Goswami is speaking here. And this we can see how it's a story within a story. So just after the departure of Krishna, then the sages, they met at Naimisharanya forest. And Sutta Goswami actually was the elder of everyone. And the sages there were all self-realized, very, very elevated personalities. But they understood that Suta Goswami was the most elevated and the most self-realized to be taking the seat of the Vyasa-san. So they asked him to sit down so they can hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suta Goswami was very elevated. He was very submissive, very surrendered. Prabhupada, when he talks in the purport, he uses spiritual masters in a plural sense. Like here, we sometimes get very, you know, narrow-minded about who our spiritual master, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, like that. But even Narada Muni, when Prabhupada talks about his spiritual masters, he talks about spiritual masters, you know, includes like the Shiksha Gurus as spiritual masters, gurus. So Suta Goswami sat and he spoke to all these sages, and there were like 1,000 years recitation of the Vedic literatures and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. One would wonder, these are all self-realized souls. They have full knowledge. They know the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, but yet they want to sit down and listen. And Prabhupada explains that these narrations are not actually for these sages that are sitting there. Actually, these are all examples, all the pastimes, everything in the Vedic literatures are meant for us to digest and understand for the purification of the soul so we can go back home, back to Godhead. So for 1,000 years after the disappearance of Krishna, they've been talking about this. And here in this verse, Suta Goswami is addressing the sages about the exchange between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. So yeah, Vyasadeva was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naradaji. So Vyasadeva already knew the pastimes of Narada Muni, but he's excited, he wants to know more. So he wants Narada Muni to actually recite the whole of his pastimes again, the whole of the story, how he came face to face with the Supreme Lord, because he's excited, he wants to know. And Prabhupada says in other places that he's the Supreme Personality of God, he's the incarnation of the Lord. He doesn't need to understand about, you know, Krishna consciousness or to have a spiritual master. Narada Muni was his spiritual master, but Prabhupada explains that Vyasadeva wanted to attain perfection. This is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He's so kind that he can actually act as a disciple to his devotees. He can take that position to act as a disciple. He can act as a servant. He can act as a child. He can act as a Supreme Lord, any position, whatever a devotee is inclined to have a relationship, to share some intimate connection with the Supreme Lord, that pastime he would perform. So you can see here, Krishna, Vyasadeva is the incarnation, but at the same time, he wants to learn from Narada Muni. And Prabhupada explains that he wants to hear very carefully so he can become perfect, even reach the path of perfection following the step of Narada Muni. Therefore, he wanted to know more and more. So I was thinking, like, in the mundane material world, when people become famous, very famous, like celebrity stars, politicians, singers, football players, anyone that we have fame in the material world, we want to buy their magazines, we want to read about them, we want to know more details about them. So when our peers, our friends talk about these things, we want to be in the limelight to show that we know what's going on in the world. So here, There's a vast difference when magazines or books or anything that are read in the material, on the material level about famous people, it's read and the literature is static. It gets thrown in the dustbin. But here, Vedic literatures have been going on for thousands and thousands of years, and these words have been spoken over and over and over again, but it's still ever fresh. So increasing the bliss and happiness of individuals that really dive into that nectar, want to know more and more. It's unlimited bliss. So the more you read, the more you hear, the more you understand, the more you feel blissful, the more you feel happy, and you want to increase more and more. There's no limit to this ecstatic enthusiasm that you feel within the heart. So this is what Vyasadeva is feeling now. He's feeling this excitement. He's feeling this excitement that he wants to hear from Narada Muni. How did he, from a maidservant's son, from a simple maidservant's son, become so exalted? He wants to know the story behind it. So here we see that even though, the example is given, even though one may have some tinges of material life within them, still there is a chance to be able to come face to face to the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was in that situation. Dhruva Maharaj left home, and he was so determined. His mother just told him, he asked his mother, "I want to see God." And she said, you have to go to the forest to see God. And he followed his mother's instructions, and he went. And even Narada Muni on the way tried to stop him. "You're just a mere boy. Go back home." And he said, "If you cannot help me, just let me be." So he went on his way. But he had this material desire to have a kingdom more than his grandfather. But when he came face to face to the Lord, he had material desires. But the Supreme Lord, because of his faith and his determination to see the Lord, the Supreme Lord made his presence in front of him face to face. But when he saw the Lord, he was completely dumbstruck. He couldn't speak. He's just like completely stunned until Lord Vishnu took his conch shell, placed it on his head, and then all the knowledge started coming, and then he could speak all these beautiful verses, Dhruva Samhita, right? He speak these beautiful verses glorifying the Supreme Lord. And even like Narada Muni as well. So, unfortunately for him, he was the only son of his mother. His mother was a maidservant. He was living in the ashram for a little bit. And then one day she went to fetch some milk, and then she got bitten by a snake. He was the only son she had, and she doted on him. She gave him all the affection and attention that he needed. And in today's day and age, when someone is the only child, if they're not brought up the right way to understand God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, don't give them the right upbringing, and they don't have another person to play with, or then they take shelter of their parents, especially the mother, and the mother becomes very affectionate, and the child in turn becomes very selfish, because the child is the only child. And this is my mother, she's giving me all attention. And still, when another child comes by, there is some animosity there. I'm getting second place now. I saw this actually with my own family. When my daughter was born, my son, he came to the hospital, he stood behind his father. He wouldn't want to look at the child. He didn't. So he stood behind his dad, and I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't look at me, wouldn't look at the child, Naraini, my daughter. And then I spoke to my husband. I said, "The next time you come to the hospital, you bring a little toy to the hospital and give it to me, and I'll work something." So when they came next to the hospital, I had this little toy, and I said, Sachi, come over. Look what the baby has brought you. Little toy. And his face lit up. So he was included. He was part of the family. He felt, yes, you know, I'm getting something. Always want something, you know, to reciprocate like that. Even now, like when we're worshiping the Supreme Lord, sometimes when we're in difficulty or we're having problems financially, materially, we always worship, we pray, you know, more sincerely to the Supreme Lord, please help me, give me this. So when he got this toy, his face lit up and he came out in the open, you know, to, oh, this sister of mine has brought me something. So I have to be nice like that, reciprocation. So this is in the material world, you know, life can be very, very selfish. But Narada Muni, when his mother left her body, then he took this as special grace from Krishna because he listened over the years. He listened so intently, sincerely to all the instructions. Even while within the womb of his mother, he was hearing. And when he was born, he got the association, he got remnants, and he was listening very carefully. So when his mother passed on, then he left. He left home as a mendicant. He was only like 5 years old. He started walking, and he crossed like rivers, mountains, and it's explained that minerals of all sorts, gold, silver, metal, he went walking all the way. This is the story that Suta Goswami is telling to the sages of Naimastranya. Now, in this like verse, Vyasadev is asking Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is explaining the story. But before that, the sages of Naimastranya could actually see the this age of Kali. They could actually see how the people are suffering so much in agony. They were like fully indulging in sense gratification. No thought, no ideas of how to worship God. You know, Kali Yuga was like really taking over. So people were like overeating, oversleeping, laziness, indulgence, breaking all four regulative principles. They could see the sufferings of the people in general. So their idea was to ask about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, because this is the only way through hearing, chanting, reading, whatever is troublesome to the heart, whatever is difficulties we face, material desires, actually is destroyed to nil. Nasta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavata uttamash loke bhaktir bhavati naistake. So this is the highest. Uttamash loke is the highest, the ultimate. There's nothing more than this. So if we take shelter of all these instructions, then we're in the right path. Sometimes there might be chances where we kind of tested by illusory energy. But if we have a strong sadhana and we take our hearing, chanting seriously, then there's a balance, and it, you know, who will be winning, Krishna or Maya? You can understand that. If we're in Maya, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can easily cross over it. 7:14, Krishna says, Daivi isha gunamai mama maya durachaya. Mayam etam tarantite. This, he calls it this divine energy. This illusory energy is Krishna's shadow. That's all. It's the back of him. The front is, transcendental knowledge. The back is illusory energy. And Maya is actually, there to make sure that we're perfect before we go back home, back to God. It should put us through so many tests. But as devotees, we understand that pleasure or pain, matra spouses to Kuntiya, is like happiness and distress, like winter and summer season. But a devotee should understand this. But it's very, very difficult. When we are in trouble, it's very, very difficult to understand that this is special mercy from the Supreme Lord. For a devotee, when they're going, having problems or difficulties, they can understand it's the purification of the soul. Krishna is making he's finding a special way in which to give us doses so which we can handle. You know, it's not like over. If we get tests like Prahlad Maharaj, what would we do? It's impossible. But here we get a few words of abuse. We cannot take it. We'll have to put it on Facebook. We'll have to put it on, you know, so many other forums to defame the person that, you know, criticized us. And maybe physically someone may slap us or someone may do something, but we didn't die, you know. But my mother would say that it's better to get a slap from somebody than words. Words stay there, you know, criticizing, bad words stay there. But a slap, the mark would fade away and you kind of forget about it. So, yeah, so it's very, very difficult for devotees when they are actually in the crux of it to understand and put the philosophy into practice. But in the material world, when there's difficulties or suffering, what do? Exactly. They've kind of break four regulative principles. They take intoxication, they turn to gambling, illicit sex, and, you know, meat eating, all these things. They turn to that so they can forget. But the next day, what happens? It's a vicious cycle, isn't it? A vicious cycle over, and it's called chewing the chewed. So we are very, very fortunate where we are. Absolutely fortunate. I was listening to Garuda. I don't know if anyone listens to Garuda, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He's an amazing speaker. He teaches Bhagavad Gita in university, you know, Garuda. And imagine, he says, I get paid for my job. And then the devotees in America, in California, was it one temple? They asked him to come and give a lecture, talk to Prabhupada disciples, and he said, am I getting paid for this? He was jokingly saying. And he said, out there, I get paid to speak Bhagavad Gita, but he's got so much knowledge to give from reciting this Bhagavad Gita. He knows like the Bhagavad Gita back to front because he's studying it every day and he's giving this knowledge, he's sharing. He said, with devotees, sometimes we have a tendency to forget how far we've come from our time in being out in the material. We kind of forget. We just like look at everyone as normal human beings. But to come to this stage in our life, it's explained that we must have performed so much pious. We must have so much pious. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita, right, Govinda? You must have performed so much pious credit. You have so much pious credit to take birth as a devotee in this life. Sometimes we take it for granted because we come to the temple every day, we associate with devotees, we take prasadam, and it becomes normal. But we don't understand the elevation of this knowledge that we have and what Prabhupada has done for us. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So therefore, he wanted to know about more and more. In this chapter, Narada will describe how he was able to give a brief audience with the Lord while he was absorbed in transcendental thought of separation from the Lord when it was very painful for him. So Narada Muni, while he was going on his journey, coming across so many different things, eventually he got very, very fatigued, tired from this long walking. So he stopped by under a big banyan tree. He stopped at a river, you know, quenched his thirst. And then he sat down to relieve himself from the tiredness. So he just sat down and went into a deep meditation about the super soul. And Prabhupada explains that there's so many different religions are coming about like that these days. They don't even know what they're doing, really. They just bring about. But here in the Shastra, it's explained what, you know, step by step, there's no speculation on what devotees should be doing. So Narada Muni went into himself. He sat down and he went into a transcendental meditation, thinking about the Supreme Lord within his heart. And then because of his sincerity, Prabhupada says in the purports here in the same chapter that Narada Muni had Shraddha. So this Shraddha, this faith, if we have this faith and determination, come hail or high waters, I will stand and fight. That should be our determination and conviction. So Narada Muni had this unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went into a very, very deep meditation. So the Lord revealed himself within his heart. And he was in so much ecstasy. He was overwhelmed. He couldn't contain himself, actually. The tears started rolling down his eyes, his cheeks. And he had a blurred vision. He couldn't see. He was so much in ecstasy, enjoying the bliss of getting the, seeing the lotus face of the Supreme Lord. He was merged in this enthusiasm and excitement. And then when he couldn't see, he almost like came to consciousness and he lost it. He lost this vision. And then he was aggrieved. He's thinking, oh my God, what have I done? It was like when you're having a beautiful dream, you might dream about Prabhupada, you may dream about your spiritual master, Krishna, and all of a sudden the dream breaks. And you're thinking, oh my God, I hope that lasted longer, you know, I'm back to reality. But this is not real reality. Reality is there, being with Krishna. But we are so conditioned, we think this is our reality. So when Narada Muni, he felt aggrieved and he felt dissatisfaction, and he thought, where is my Lord? So he thought, let me try again. So he went into a meditation again. But this meditation, Prabhupada explains, is mechanical. He was trying himself to see Krishna. But this is not how it works. We have to follow the orders of the spiritual master, Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. We cannot do anything on our own. We have to follow systematically. So, but because of his sincerity, he was so sincere to want the association of the Supreme Lord that Krishna was still kind to him. So very kind that he presented himself in sound vibration. He spoke to Narada Muni. He said, my dear Narada, in this life, you have a little material tinge. You have to continue. But Prabhupada explains in the purport, Krishna said that because he wanted to intensify Narada Muni's hankering for him, basically. The more we hanker after Krishna, the more pleasurable, the more pleased he is. So Krishna actually wanted to increase the hankering of his devotee for him. So he said, you have a little tinge of material desire, you continue. But after he got that sound, that voice that came to him, he was blissed out again. He was so happy listening to the sound that he continued on his journey. Very soon after that, he left. He left his body like lightning that comes very quickly and goes. It's explained in the same chapter. He leaves. And then he was merged in for like so many years in the day of Lord Brahma before he came as Narada Muni. So this story is telling to Vedavyas, but this story was related to the great sages in Naimisharanya forest. So you can see that Krishna, even though we may not be qualified, but through being sincere and having that faith, we can become spiritualized or have this transcendental vision in this material bodies. In the question with the sages, Prabhupada says that when we leave our bodies, we leave the material body and we go with our spiritual body. But at the same time, he call it super mind or something, you know, super consciousness. We can be in super consciousness in this material body. So it depends on our hankering, our dedication, our submissiveness, our surrender in this process of devotional service. The more we dive into this nectar, the more will be revealed to us. And the more more is revealed to us, then the more purification we go through. But this verse as well emphasizes the process of hearing. Like the ninth process of devotional service, the first one is Shravanam. And with hearing, even Lord Chaitanya, when Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, he wanted us to hear and chant the holy name. So all that is, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhavama, the blazing fire of material existence, would be cleansed from the heart as we're chanting. So all this Harinam, Govinda goes out on Harinam sometimes all day. They're chanting in London. And this hearing process might not be, it's very difficult. This is, you know, the austerity of the mind is just a lack of satisfaction, austerity. The mind doesn't want to see devotees satisfied. But when you go on Harinam all day, every day, I find my husband, it comes out like, completely exhausted from chanting all day, but he's blissful, you know, he's very happy from chanting. So this chanting is for hearing, basically, nothing else. The sages that were all listening, they were hearing. Everything is about hearing. From hearing Krishna Katha, activities of the Supreme Lord, it penetrates the heart. And from the heart, you get cleansed. And then you have, like, you enjoy transcendental vision of the Supreme Lord. I'll leave it here. We have 5 minutes for discussion. If anyone has anything more to, add or say, or any questions, whatever.